to Moses, say to the Israelites, any Israelite or any alien living in Israel who gives any of his children to Molech must be put to death. The people of the community are to stone him. I will set my face against the man, and I will cut him off from his people. For by giving his children to Molech, he has defiled my sanctuary and profaned my holy name. If the people of the community close their eyes when that man gives one of his children to Molech, and they fail to put him to death, I will set my face against that man and his family and will cut off from their people both him and all who follow him in prostituting themselves to Molech. I will set my face against the person who turns to mediums and spiritists to prostitute himself by following them, and I will cut him off from his people. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am the Lord your God. Keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy.
We're in a series on the names of God, because the best way for us to know God and understand our relationship with him is through his names. So far, we've learned that he's the great I am, the self-existent God. There was no one before him. There will be no one after him. He's the beginning and the end, and there's no one greater. Last week, we looked at his name, Adonai, meaning Lord and Master. And we looked at, really, what does it mean when we cry out, Lord, Lord? Because too often when we call out Lord, we still want to be in control of our lives. But we can't have it both ways. When we confess Jesus as our Savior, he must also be Lord of our lives. If he's not Lord of our lives, then we need to go back. Is he really our Savior? Today we're going to look at a name that scholars believe gives us the best description of God's attributes. Emkadesh is how you say it in Hebrew. And it means holy. Jehovah Emkadesh is the God who sanctifies us. He's the God who makes us holy. Sanctify. It's a big Christian word. What does that actually mean? To sanctify. What does it mean to sanctify something? It means to set it apart. It means taking what's considered common and used for ordinary purposes is set apart for God's use alone. That's what is called sanctified. That's what's called holy. For example, God makes times sanctified. He set apart the Sabbath. He made it holy. In Genesis 2, and God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from his work of creation. He sanctified Jewish feasts and festivals. They were set apart for the Jews for spiritual renewing, for spiritual refreshing. Leviticus 23, he said, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. These are the Lord's appointed festivals, which you are to proclaim as official days for holy assembly. God can make places sanctified. He sets apart the tabernacle and the temple from other buildings as the place of his worship. They were called the holy place, or the holiest of holies. Jerusalem was set apart from the other cities as the holy city. Israel was called the Holy Land, and to this day it's still called the Holy Land. Zechariah 2:12 says, the land of Judah will be the Lord's special possession in the Holy Land, and he will once again choose Jerusalem as his own city. God can sanctify people. The whole nation of Israel was set apart from the other groups around them. Jeremiah, prophet, was set apart. This is what was said of Jeremiah in the first chapter. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Samuel, another, was set apart for the Lord. God himself is holy and set apart. He's set apart from all other things in the universe. Isaiah 6:3 says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory. See, God's holiness can't be compared to anyone or anything else. 1 Samuel, it says, no one is holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. You see, God's holiness gives him grandeur. It shows his majesty because he is holy and blameless. It constitutes his fullness and his perfection. And it's that same perfection that we see in Jesus Christ, who is also holy and set apart for us. It's this concept of set apart that we're going to study this morning. Our reading this morning was from Leviticus. Now, we don't pay much attention to the book of Leviticus. To us, it's kind of boring. It's about a lot of rules, and frankly, we think it's irrelevant for us today. But we really can't be that quick to dismiss it, because the theme of Leviticus is holiness. You know, the Hebrew word kadosh, which means holy, is used so many times in this book to describe our Lord. And yet we want to just brush it off. Oh, it's just rules. It doesn't matter. No, it does matter. You know, in the Jewish families, Leviticus was the first book that the children had to learn, because they had to know if they wanted to live a life that was pleasing to the Lord. They had to know what a holy relationship with the Lord looked like. And so every child had to start with the book of Leviticus. And so I think that causes us to go back and say, well, maybe we better take a closer look at it. You know, holiness is found in our separateness from the rest of the world. Holiness is found in the actions that make us different from the rest of the world. In our text this morning, what was going on were the Israelites were worshiping an idol god named Molech. And Molech just means king. He was the god worshipped by the group known as the Ammonites. And they were sacrificing their own children by fire to this god. They didn't want God as their king. They wanted the same king that the rest of the world was worshipping. And so they were behaving like the rest of the world. They were no longer acting differently. They were no longer behaving as though they had been set apart. They had taken their eyes and their focus off of God and allowed other things to come in and take first place. They had forgotten who gave them life. They had forgotten who set them free from the bondage that they were in Egypt. And they turned to the God of the world. When we allow ourselves to be part of the worldly pursuits, when we are no longer distinguishable from the world, we've begun to separate ourselves from God. And we become just like the Israelites in our text. We all have Molechs, or kings, in our life that come before God at one time or another. There are things that we put before God. They're the things that steal our attention away from the Lord. Things that make us look just like the rest of the world. Make us undistinguishable. So why is holiness so important? Why pursue it? Why do we need holiness? If I believe in God and I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior, isn't that enough? No, it's not. No, 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 no. In fact, in my notes, it's uppercase N-O, exclamation point, no. Holiness matters. It matters. See, trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's only the first step in sanctification. It's only the first step in holiness, in our journey towards holiness. You see, that first step, we call it justification. In that first step, when we say, Lord, I am a sinner, I am trusting in you to be my Savior and my Lord. Justification, it means we're redeemed. We're bought back by the blood of Christ in justification. It means we've been released from the power of sin over our lives. But we still live in these flesh bodies. And we still have to deal with the desires of our flesh day in and day out. You know it. You live it. You get up in the morning, you breathe, you go out in the world, and the world bombards you with stuff. You know the temptation is out there. That's where sanctification comes in. That's why holiness matters. It's all about becoming more like Christ. Paul said this to the Galatians in chapter 5, starting in verse 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, part of our problem is that we think God grades us on a curve. And so we look at the sins in that list and we say, oh, some of those are really bad, but I don't do those really bad ones, so I might be okay. Think of a ship out in the ocean, same way we're in the world. A ship is meant to be in the ocean. That's its job. But if it gets a hole in the hull and the water starts to come in, what's going to happen? It's going to sink. As Christians in the world, if we sin over and over and over, and we let that sin come in, we're letting that world come into our soul, what's going to happen? We're going to sink. See, when we look at holiness as a list of do's and don'ts, we start to weigh the good and the bad. Well, if I have enough good to outweigh the bad, I'm okay. That's not how it works. Even a small, tiny hole in the hull of the ship eventually is going to sink it. Eventually, the little sin that you're thinking you're doing is going to sink you. That's why holiness matters. You know, God demands holiness from us. He demands it. In 1 Peter, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. If we love Jesus, if he's truly our Lord and Savior, then we want to do what pleases him. And he wants us to be holy. We are owned by a holy God. We are His creation. We are His masterpiece. We are His special possession. We're a chosen people. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. The third reason holiness matters is because the world needs to see it. Holiness brings glory to God. Holiness gets our eyes off of ourselves and puts it back on Jesus. And when Jesus has our attention, He takes it and He puts it on others. So we're not thinking about us anymore. You know, our pursuit of holiness is not a club that we use to beat others up. Our pursuit of holiness is not a badge of honor that we wear with pride. Oh, look, I didn't do those things. Look at me. Look at me. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do this. I don't. Oh, you do? Oh, that's not so good. It's not a badge of honor. It doesn't make you a better Christian than somebody else. That's not what holiness is. Our pursuit of holiness is to be a light that shines the glory of our Father in heaven. That's what holiness is. And if you're putting others down for the things they do, that is not glorifying our God in heaven. Holiness is not just a list of good and bad behaviors. Holiness doesn't work from the outside in. Holiness is the work of God on the inside. It's a change in our heart. It's a transformation of our heart that expresses itself in our outward behavior. Our pursuit of holiness makes us useful. It makes us available for God. 2 Timothy 2:20, 21. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. I really like to sew. And I used to even make my kids clothes when they were little. I used to match them in these little outfits and everything. But the one thing you need when you sew is a sharp pair of scissors. And I would always try to keep one pair of scissors that was mine. It was my sewing scissors. And I would try to keep them in a special place. And I would say, nobody touch these scissors. They are my sewing scissors. Inevitably, oh, Mom, I can't find the kitchen. I need these scissors. And the scissors would get used for other things that had nothing to do with sewing. And then when I would go to use them to cut the fabric, they wouldn't work. Why? Because they had been dulled. They had been used for other purposes. They didn't work for what I designed them for anymore. You see, if we want to make a difference in the world, if we want to make a difference in our community and in our family and friends' relationships, then we have to resolve to be set apart. Because if we start to use our talents and our time for things that are not of God, we're going to be dulled like those scissors. When we shift our focus from God, our purposes get shifted. We become ineffective, just like the scissors. You see, sin wages war against our soul, and we cannot serve two masters. When we let sin in, when we let sin have its way, we just push God away. He cannot be in the presence of sin. But when we pursue holiness, we pursue a relationship with God. We're sharpened and we're transformed from the inside out. 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 13. Prepare your minds for action. Exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. You must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. So what does holiness look like? If it's not a list of do's and don'ts, what is it? What does it look like in the life of a follower of Christ? Well, to know what it looks like, we only have to look at the one who lived a holy and perfect and blameless life. Jesus. How did he behave? What did Jesus do? He forgave others. Even those that were hammering the stakes into his hands and feet, he was forgiving them as they were doing it. He loved others beyond measure. He stood up for the outcast and for the marginalized people of the world. He served others. Even though he was the creator of the universe, he bent down and washed his disciples' feet. Not taking on the likeness of God, but that of a servant. And he pursued a relationship with the Father relentlessly, putting the Father first above all things. How are we doing? How are we doing at forgiving? How are we doing at loving and serving and pursuing that relationship with our Father? 1 Corinthians says, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Are we doing that? That's what holiness is. No matter what you do, are you choosing to give him the glory in it? We need to start looking at holiness as our pursuit of God and move away from this list of do's and don'ts. Because when we focus on the do's and don'ts, we become like the Pharisees, and we don't want to be like them. We want to be like Jesus. And Jesus was holy, and he pursued the Father relentlessly. And that is our task. You want to be holy? Pursue God with all you have, and you will get to holy. God calls us to belong to him and to serve him in the world. He sets us apart, granting us access into his presence. He bestows upon us forgiveness and freedom, grace and favor. Who else in your life is worthy of that? Who else in your life has done that for you? You want a life of joy? Choose holiness. Yet we don't usually associate holiness with joy. Society tells us holiness is dull. Holiness is boring. We think of holy people as these solemn, unhappy people. They're usually dressed in dark colors. And if they ever get happy about anything, then they feel guilty because they're happy. That's not holiness. That's not what Scripture says holiness is. Isaiah 12:6 says, let all the people of Jerusalem shout his praise with joy, for great is the Holy One of Israel who lives among you. Praise with joy. That's not sadness. That's not dullness. That's not boring. The disciples in Acts, they were filled with joy because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy people should be the most joyful people. If you are a cranky, really nasty Christian, you're not holy. I'm sorry, because the word says so. There, I said it. Holiness is about wholeness. In our pursuit of God, He alone is able to put us together, piece by piece. It's God alone who makes us whole. And there is beauty in wholeness. There's beauty in our holiness. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty and majesty of His holiness. God is designing beautiful people from the inside out. People that He calls by name. People who are trustworthy, strong, loving, and compassionate people. People that are whole and can bring that wholeness into the lives of others. That is God's will. That is His holiness coming to us. You know, He calls us to holiness, but He doesn't just call us. He enables us to holiness. He gets us there. 2 Peter chapter 1. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption. Pursue God with all you have, and He will get you there. Because holiness matters. This is a warning to the Hebrews. Work at living in peace with everyone. Work at living a holy life. Pay attention to this next part. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Church, our Father treats us with special care. He sets us apart for His purposes, for His pleasures, for His glory. Know deeply that when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're clean. You're dedicated to God. You're consecrated to God. To pursue holiness is to pursue a relationship with the Father. And when we pursue that relationship, we'll want to keep ourselves free from the things that make us unusable for His glory. Reserve your heart's devotion. Reserve your life's affection for the Holy One. He's the one who knows you best. The Holy One that's your Savior. The one that's calling you to a life of holiness. He's calling us into His presence, but His presence demands our holiness. Holy Father, You are holy, holy, holy. We come humbly, Lord, seeking You, pursuing You. We want all that You have for us, Lord. We want to know You. Lord, help us to see You. As we leave this place, may we be challenged by Your word. May we be encouraged by Your word. May we look to Jesus for our holiness. May we be a light that points back to You. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.
God, today we ask You to hear our prayers. We ask for healing In a day where we are so connected to the world, set us apart. In a time of great unrest and uncertainty, we ask for holiness. So search our hearts, renew our minds, and help us love like you love us. Make us holy. Use us to do your will on this earth. God, today we ask that you would restore us. Gather up the bits and pieces of our souls and mend them with your loving hand. Search out those parts that we try to hide from you. Today, God, we invite you in. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. We trust you. May we be set apart for you. May we be holy.